As we remain standing, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, open our ears to hear your word today and give us the courage to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There are some moments in our time when we usually ask each other, where were you when? Where were you when? And I can clearly recall the morning of the 11th of September 2001, exact 21 years ago. I remember exactly where I was. I don't know if you remember where you were, but at that time, two planes were flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, causing both towers to collapse. There's some evidence that the Pentagon and the White House were also targeted. And the attacks claimed nearly 3,000 lives and affected people all around the world, and perhaps set the tone for the years to come in a lot of areas in our lives. 9/11, as it is called, shook the world and has had a lasting impact. Today, there are so many disputes around the world, and I tried making note of the number of wars and disputes, and it's really mind-boggling. But for many, this is highlighted by the conflict in Ukraine, which has had world attention. And of course, many are thinking about the passing of Queen Elizabeth II, the head of the monarch of the Commonwealth, actually, including Canada, and the transition to Charles III. And in all of this, all that's happening around us, in the community, in our personal lives, today we are encouraged by our gospel message, which reminds us of a patient and loving God who gives us all a second chance and continues to call us to faithful service. Luke tells us that Jesus is challenged to defend his relationship with those on the margins of society. And it's quite ironic because that is what the church is all about. To stand with people who are lonely, to stand with people who have been outsiders, to stand with people who have gone through so much. That is what the church is all about. Nevertheless, this is what was said about Jesus. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So why were the Pharisees upset because Jesus associated with the outcasts in society? One possible explanation is that the religious leaders were quite pious and were always careful to observe the traditions and practices around cleanliness and other rituals. And this included avoiding certain people and situations. Jesus, on the other hand, ignored the tradition around associating with certain classes of people. And in fact, he made a deliberate effort to reach out to the disadvantaged in society. And I must say that is an example for each and every one of us. Furthermore, the Pharisees and legal experts opposed Jesus, and they always looked for every opportunity to challenge him and to destroy his credibility. So in response to their concerns about the people with whom he associated, Jesus tells two related stories. They were read for you, so I'm not going to read them through, but a couple of highlights. In the first parable, Jesus talks about the lost sheep. He gives the example of a shepherd with 100 sheep. And when one sheep goes astray, the shepherd searches nonstop for the one lost sheep while ignoring the 99 left grazing in the pastures and on the hillsides. So one might pose a question, why would the shepherd leave the 99 to go searching for just one? Some possibilities are obvious. Perhaps the shepherd felt that the 99 would be safe, while the one lost sheep could be in danger. Perhaps to the shepherd, each sheep was valuable, and the shepherd knew that it was worthwhile to search diligently for the lost one. Another possible explanation is that the shepherd loves each sheep and wants the lost one to return to its rightful place in the flock, and he wants the entire flock to be together. So the shepherd does not rest until he finds the lost sheep, and then he celebrates with all his friends and his neighbors. I've seen that happen with one of my friends whose son had been missing for a while. And many of you have probably experienced similar situation, if not identical situations, where someone has just not answered your phone calls, dropped out, whatever they may be going through. And it's in times like these that we should not be judgmental. And we should follow the example of Jesus and give a second chance to rebuild that relationship. In the second story, Jesus talks about the lost coin. In Palestine at that time, it was common for women to receive 10 silver coins as a wedding gift. And wedding gifts in various traditions may vary, but this is according to historical and other records. But apart from the monetary value, these coins had sentimental value, like a wedding ring. And in some cultures, is a lot of jewelry. And so you would imagine that to lose one of these coins would be quite upsetting, especially when it might have been passed down from generation to generation. And on a practical level, that loss would normally represent a significant percentage of one's possessions. So she would naturally be motivated to do a thorough search until she finds a missing coin, wouldn't she? Because of its real and sentimental value. Now, some biblical scholars have suggested that this second parable about the lost coin was addressed specifically to women for the following reasons. Firstly, to acknowledge the female disciples who accompanied Jesus. And we know that not as much is documented about the female disciples as about the male disciples. But that's another time, another conversation. But by extension, to extend the message of salvation to all women. Secondly, during Jesus' earthly ministry, and still in many parts of our society today, women and other marginalized people are longing for inclusion. And as I was reflecting on today's sermon, and I looked at the bulletin again and realized, wait a minute, there are three men participating, but there's a reason for that. We did have a good mix, but the person who was scheduled to do one of the readings is unable to be here. So I thought I would explain that so that there's no judgment on our part. And we do here try to include everyone into the life of the church. And if at any time you realize that that's not happening, please point that out. Because I would like to go on record as saying that here at St. George on Young, we do our very, very best to include everyone in the life of the church. So what can we learn from the scripture readings today? First of all, our Lord takes the initiative to find us, and each one is so precious in the sight of God. The two parables show the importance of reaching out to those who are in any kind of need. Secondly, God forgives us. Just as the sheep and the coin are returned to their rightful place with the others, our loving God gives us a second chance. And these two parables focus on the recovery of what was lost. And we notice, however, that Jesus shows a connection between the lost being found and the repentance of sinners. So God finds us. God forgives us. And in response to the grace and mercy of God, we are encouraged to celebrate and give thanks when someone makes a commitment to the Christian life. For just as the shepherd would celebrate when he finds his lost sheep, and the woman would rejoice at finding her lost coin or ring, so there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And you recognize that as verse 10 of the gospel reading. One person who takes the leap of faith, rejoicing. And what does that mean to us? Well, whenever we have a baptism here at St. George and Young, we ask everybody to applaud and welcome people, the baptized into the life of the church. I've been to churches, Anglican churches and other churches, when a baptism takes place, there's actually quite a ceremony, including music and dancing. Now, I'm not quite sure how that would, how people would react to that here, if after a baptism we brought in the drums and everybody danced around in a circle. But perhaps one of these days we'll try it, don't we? We'll really rejoice and not just give a... We'll actually get up and rejoice and welcome the person. Now, I see some people are already uncomfortable about that idea, but pray about it. So, back to the gospel reading. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees to defend his relationship with those on the margins of society. However, he is not concerned about the accusations of the Pharisees, and he continues to reach out to those in need, despite their objections. In the end, Jesus invites the Pharisees and legal experts to join him in welcoming people who are beyond hope, as if they were family and friends, and to celebrate their new life in Christ. But my friends, I just want to draw your attention very quickly to the reading from 1 Timothy, because this provides a plausible explanation for us to consider. For any one of us who might feel so terrible about our past that we feel that God could never forgive and accept us, this excerpt is a reminder of God's grace and God's mercy. For despite his past, Paul was forgiven and became God's messenger to help spread the gospel. And God can also forgive us, forgive you and forgive me, and use us to share his love with others. Furthermore, from the reading from Timothy gives us hope as a reminder that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you'd recognize that as verse 15 of the reading. And for many, this is considered the mission statement. Christ came into the world to save sinners. God's mission, isn't it? And that is why he seeks you and me, one by one. Because Jesus offers the power he already has as God's Son, and brings God's love to all in need, offering salvation to show that God loves us and that everyone is precious in the sight of God. So how can we follow the example of Jesus? Tall order, isn't it? What our churches feel like? What would St. George and Young feel and look like if we all remained faithful as we share God's love with others. We are continuing to discern that right here at St. George and Young. And as we continue to think about what God has in store for us and prepare to engage everyone in the life of the church, we will explore how we could help each other to take steps from attending worship to being active, contributing, articulate disciples of Jesus in our own way, because we are all gifted in different ways. So I hope that you will consider this amazing opportunity to be equipped for building our Christian community here at St. George and Young. Immediately following our worship today, we are all invited downstairs to the parish hall, where we'll have that interaction and we'll have that conversation. And I want to thank all of the parish leaders who have faithfully prepared for our ministry fair today, which will take place right after worship. I also want to thank you for your ongoing volunteer work in the church and in the community. And I hope that today we will all be encouraged to engage in the ministries to which we have been called. The gospel reading for today reminds us that we serve a God who will keep looking for us until we are found. Not a God of second chance or third chance, a God of many chances. And God is looking not only for us, but for all who need God's grace and mercy so that he can bring healing to a broken world. And to this we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us just close with a short prayer. Almighty God, fill us with your power and make us partners with and companions of those who have no hope. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.